Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker. Please tell your mom to stop calling me. Tonight we're going to talk about some examples of why guys feel that they're undateable, or what would make them maybe believe that they're undateable. I've got a great story by a guy that wrote a story called The Moment I Realized I'm Undateable. And then I have some words of wisdom from Bill Burr. So let's start off, first of all, in the beginning. And quickly, let me mention, ear monitors are way superior as far as fidelity to earbuds. I didn't know that. I just spent $50 on some nice ear monitors, and they're amazing. So if you like good quality and ear-in-ear things, ear monitors, great way to go. Okay, so let's get recording. We'll jump right into it. I don't have a whole lot of pre-talk. But what I want to talk about here is guys getting burned to the point that there is no return. I saw this screenshot here. A guy was on Tinder. I guess he's swiping. He had a horrible answer to this woman, but she says, "I only swiped right because I wanted to tell you that you're ugly and good luck finding a woman to like you." And he had said, "Same to you." And she said, "Oh, I'm sure, sweetie, tell that to my 400 matches." I have no doubts that she has 400 matches. I mean, we know how the swiping game goes. This poor guy, unfortunately, should have said something like, if she said, "I only swipe right because I wanted to tell you that you're ugly," he should have said, "Oh my God, what a coincidence. That's why I swiped right on you," and then see where that took them. You don't just be same to you. That's pretty weak. But the whole point is, what happened? You know, women oftentimes say men no longer ask us out. Men no longer take us on dates. Men no longer want to pay for dinner. I got a flat tire on the side of the road, and guys, you know, car after car after car kept going by, and no one stopped to help me. This is what happens to, I mean, there's nothing this guy did to earn this. But she just felt like it would make her feel better to, number one, crush him, and number two, take a screenshot of it and then like hash on him, I guess, or post it. Now, maybe he took the screenshot just to show a point. But either way, what's the point of doing this? To make herself feel better for crapping on a guy. Well, when you're a guy that's already having hard times in the real world talking to a woman and being comfortable and understanding rejection can be hard, and you say, "You know something, I'm just going to go on a dating app and I'll swipe, and that way, I mean, if I get rejected, I just don't know it. I just don't get many matches." And then you get a match and you go, "Oh, maybe I'm kind of excited," and she craps on you. You know, these are the kind of things that starts putting guys down the path of, that's it. I'm just not going to date anymore. I'm not going to try anymore. A lot of times this can send guys right down into, I don't know if you'd say like deep depression, but you might say, this sends them off to a pretty bad place. It can really bum out a guy. And so this is the guy that disappears and maybe never returns to the dating world. Or if he does, he says, "I'm not getting my heart hurt anymore. I'm just going to casually date and have a little fun, but I'm never going to man up and marry you or have a long-term relationship because I see women's nature when they do this." Again, not all women, but they're out there. I mean, look at this guy just swiping and he gets burned. And then we have another quick story here. Let me slide this over so I can read a little better. Joseph Tan has been relegated to the friend zone after failing to impress his long-term crush, Stella Wong. The Insta-hottie with a reputable following, 5K, I guess maybe on Instagram, was not impressed with a date that Joseph had spent days planning. He spent days planning this. Now, maybe it's not the most exciting date in the world, but he put effort into it. And how is he rewarded for his effort? She says, "As soon as I saw him pull up in the driveway, my stomach started to twist." That's right, twist. "I was so upset." Why? Because he pulled up in a Mazda 3. "I tried to be optimistic, but his taste in cars was as basic as his choice in the restaurant." Crinitis, I guess? She said, "Are you effing serious, mate?" Stella goes on to describe her date's safe choices and claims he provides no exciting prospects as a future partner. "He drove the speed limit the whole way and would stop at every yellow." Where's the excitement in that? She said. Interestingly enough, if you are a good earner and a smart man and considerate, kind, and maintain your finances, you're boring. Again, we talk about this. But imagine you're this guy, right? You swipe, you get crushed all the time, you finally decide to go, you get a match, decide to go out on a date. And I don't know who either of these people are. Maybe they're popular somewhere. I don't know. But she says, my ex used to drive a GTR and deal pills and text other chicks on the DL. This guy works at Deloitte and drives a Mazda 3. The car is the physical embodiment of I only do missionary and I love John Legend. Snooze. At the time of the writing, it was confirmed that Joseph was still currently in the friend zone. Let's all take a prayer for the brothers trapped in this crippling abyss. So again, nice, normal, everyday, average, good guy. He had now Mazda 3s are not cheap. New, they're anywhere between $23,000 and $29,000 US. That's not a cheap car. And maybe he paid cash for it instead of the other guy who had the GTR, who maybe he paid cash for it, especially if he's dealing stuff on the side. Or maybe he's up to his eyebrows in debt. But see, it doesn't matter. It's the perception. So here we've got a guy that was miserable and having horrible luck on Tinder, finally gets a date, and because he's a responsible, regular guy, he gets burned. And that's where you end up with a gentleman like Rajiv Mishrandi. I hope I pronounced that right. Mirchandani. Sorry about that. Mirchandani. So here Rajiv says he decided to write a story. And it says, the moment I realized I'm undateable. And this sounds like a lot of the emails and stories that you guys send me. But he doesn't give, I mean, this is a history that it's like it's okay to share. Some of you guys say, hey, don't share my information, whatever. But this is a story that kind of sums up a lot of you guys that tell me about your past relationships that brought you to deciding, you know what, I'm just done with it. So let's read. I'll zoom in a little bit so you can see it a little bit better. There. I'm sure you read the title of this, rolled your eyes, and wrote it off as some sad story complaining about how my dating life sucks. But keep reading and you might see it a little bit differently, just like I do. The last year and a half of my life has been surreal. I've been completely out of the dating game, but not for your usual reasons like I'm taking a break, or I'm working on myself, or the ever so popular I'm doing me. For me, it's a little bit different. It's something more permanent than just working on myself for a year or two. I quit dating because I realized I'm not really the type of guy that people want to date or be in a relationship. At first, it was painful to come to the conclusion that I'm undateable. I mean, who the heck would want to consider themselves to be that way? But if you're the first guy who gets matched and she just roasts you and crushes your ego, if you're the next guy that has a good, stable job, drives a reasonable car, obeys the laws and the street speed limit and stops at red lights. If you're a reasonable guy, that's no good. That's no good. So you have enough of those encounters and men just say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to get severely bummed out, or I've got to find a way to mentally handle this. And for a lot of guys, including myself, and some people will say, dude, that's weak. You need to get in there and fight. You need to keep at it, and your game's weak or something else. At a certain point, you just have to say, is it really worth it? And for some of us, for a lot of us, the answer is no, not really, not really. Again, I wouldn't turn away somebody asking me out or someone flirting with me or wanting to spend time with me. That's great. If they wanted to hang out with me, that's awesome. But I'm not going to go out of my way to make that a point. And that's where these guys land. That's where we, I'll even include some of you in this and myself, this is where we land. Because we say, you know what? Yeah, I may have an older vehicle, paid off. Yes, my house may be a little smaller, paid off. Yes, I may, whatever, pay, you know, but I'm financially secure. Some might say successful. But that's not exciting. And I'm not, there's a point in time where guys say, look, this just isn't working for me. Let me keep reading. He says, I quit dating because I realized that I'm not really the type of guy that people want to date. I already read that. But it's actually been one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. But before I get into that, I'll let you guys in on how I figured it out. We've all heard the different reasons for being turned down. They're not ready for a relationship right now. They're getting out of a relationship and just want something casual. They're working on themselves. They're moving to Antarctica. Kidding, hopefully. This list goes on and on and on. Whether they're legit reasons or not, we've all heard them. No, they're not legit reasons. If a woman wants to date you and she's married and she has two kids and she's in debt $50,000 and can't afford to do anything, she will sneak in your bedroom window to spend time with you if she's really attracted to you. The thing is, they weren't really attracted to him. Was that a fault of his own? Maybe. Maybe they didn't find him exciting or interesting. A guy can do things to change that. But there's also a point in time where you say, maybe that's just not me. Maybe I'm just not the type to go through all the dancing and the games and all the BS to try to get some attention. And that, I think, happens to a lot of us. He'd say, I hear all the time, I'd meet a girl. I'd hear them all the time. I'd meet a girl, we have this great chemistry, and then I'd get hit with the excuse. And that's because they found him probably boring, a little milquetoast, not really that interesting. He didn't spark the tingles. He says, but I started to notice a disturbing trend. After telling me they weren't ready for a relationship, that same girl would enter into a relationship with another guy between 2 and 3 months later, in one case as early as 2 weeks later. That actually got so predictable, I would be able to call it out like clockwork before it even happened. If only we could bet on this in Vegas. About 2 years ago, it happened again with a girl I really thought it would work out with. And I feel for this guy. If he wanted to make it work, there are ways you can do it. You don't have to be a boring, nice guy. You can still drive a paid-off car. You can still have good financial stability. But you can be exciting and you can be interesting. But again, maybe he just didn't feel like that was him. Maybe that's not his feeling that he wanted to go through those hoops to make it happen. You'd think just being a normal, everyday, average guy that works hard and is responsible and mature, you'd think that'd be enough. But no. He said, it ended up being the exact same result, but with double the heartache in the end. She was beautiful, probably out of my league. See, again, he's kind of not secure with himself. Because to be honest with you, no woman is out of your league if you have enough game and enough money. We went on some great dates. The chemistry was undeniable. We clicked, and I thought it was finally my time to break the streak. Surely enough, she came at me with the, by the way, I just got out of a relationship. I just want something casual, blah, blah, blah. That's a nice way of a girl saying, look, you're really nice, but you're not firing my tingles, and this isn't going to go anywhere, just so you know. This is a girl's way to back out of it. Same thing, if a guy goes up to maybe introduce himself to a woman or something, she says, oh, I've got a boyfriend. That's her way of just saying, oh, I'm not into you. That's her putting up her wall to make sure you got hit on. A good answer for that is like when a girl goes, oh, I've got a boyfriend. Just say, hey, I didn't ask about your personal problems, and then continue saying what you were going to say. So he says, I know, I should have bounced as soon as she said that, especially after all I'd been through. Trust me, I knew what I should have done, but this girl was just so great, and I knew I had to try to stick it out this time. After all, I'd walked away from so many similar situations because of my past, and I just had to see this one through. I knew we could break through that barrier if I played it cool enough. No, once you're in the friend zone, always in the friend zone. And if there is a way out of it, it's so much effort. It's Herculean. It's not worth it. By now, I'm sure you guys know the rest of the story. It ended because she wasn't looking for a relationship. About 3 months later, surprise, surprise, I see she's in a relationship. So there I was, failed again. This was supposed to be the time it finally worked out, when I wasn't looking for a relationship, when I was looking for a relationship, when it was a girl I really liked, when it was a girl that I couldn't do without. It was always the same result. I had to accept the fact that I am undateable. The truth is, he's not undateable. He just doesn't understand how to date. He just doesn't understand what interests women and what excites them. But to learn that, it takes effort. And maybe to him, maybe again, that wasn't worth the effort. But like I said earlier, coming to this realization has been one of the best things that it's ever occurred to me. Once I started owning it, I became more comfortable in my own skin. I don't worry about rejection anymore because I've already been through the worst rejections. It helped me rid a lot of my own insecurities because I'm more accepting of who I am. My mind is freed up to think more about important things than why dating has never worked out for me or why women never thought I was good enough for them. It just completely turned an insecure, worrywart kid into a man who is comfortable with being himself, his path, and all the good and bad that comes with it. Now that he's at that point, now he'd probably be able to attract women. Because the minute you need a woman's attention, the moment that you're messaging her and saying, why aren't we talking as much, or why don't you want to hang out with me, or what happened, things were going so great, you've lost it. Women can run hot and cold. Women often run hot and cold. Things will be hot and spicy 1 minute, and you're texting, and everything's kind of going on, and it's really good. Maybe you're sending back and forth spicy pictures, and then the next instantly it cools off. What happened? Maybe she felt you were talking too much and you wanted her too much. Maybe she felt like, I don't know, she got bored of the conversation. Maybe she met somebody else. All these things can happen. And it's part of the dating dance that you have to do. This is why a lot of guys will date multiple women at once, because then if one woman fades off and doesn't seem to be interested anymore, it doesn't really matter to him because he's dating four other women. And the women that say, oh, well, guys shouldn't do that, or girls do it too. Yeah, that's why, like, a lot of us don't like the game. That's why guys quit. Again, see this, you know, the guy with the nice little Mazda, and see this guy getting burned just for commenting. Again, some guys just say, you know what, I'm above the game. I just don't want to play it and go through all this just for a girlfriend or to get, you know, get some action. He says, in the spirit of full disclosure, I will admit to you guys that there are 2 days out of the year when I do feel bad about my undateableness. Undateability? Whatever the heck you want to call it. Those days are Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve. But hey, 2 out of 365 days ain't too bad. I can solve both those for you. Number one, the day after is Guys Going Their Own Way Day, February 15th. That's for us bachelors. You just celebrated a day earlier, and guess what? You didn't have to spend $150 on chocolates and a date and flowers and all the other stuff hoping to get some bedroom action that night. Maybe or maybe not happening, depending on how whether she determines that it's worth it or not. Now, again, if you've got a real solid relationship and she's into you, you could ignore her on Valentine's Day and just say, eh, I got you me. And if she's really into you, that will be a good enough gift. And for New Year's Eve, I'll tell you what I do New Year's Eve. Man, I kick my feet back, and it's like any other day except I have a couple of extra cold beers. Whoop-de-doo. I know admitting that you're undateable still sounds effed up to a lot of you. It's definitely not something that most people would admit or accept about themselves. But maybe your takeaway from this post is that no matter what your lifestyle is, no matter what you think about yourself, no matter what others think about you, no matter how crazy, effed up, or lonely your path is, own that crap. That's exactly right. Own it. Own it. And I think that not only does it put you in a better place, do I like being alone all the time? Do I like not having someone around to spend time with and someone to share my day with and someone to hold hands and have those romantic? Do I miss that? No, of course not. Of course I don't. Because I'm happy in my own skin. Would I take it in a short-term relationship? Yeah, sure. It's enjoyable. It's not a painful experience. It can be fun. But you kind of have to treat it like a little sugar with your medicine. You know, there's sweet moments, but there's also going to be the crap test that you have to put up with. There's going to be the arguments. It's you didn't call me. You didn't text me when you said you're going to text me. There's all the stuff that goes with it. And when you start adding that in there, you kind of go, eh, yeah. Accept, he says, accept your strengths, accept your weaknesses, and don't let anything stop you from being comfortable with yourself. After all, the happiest people in the world are the ones who are comfortable in their own skin. So embrace your flaws, embrace your weirdness, and if you're like me, embrace your undateableness. He said, okay, seriously, I'll come up with a better word for this soon. This is a great article, and I'll leave a link down to it below. Again, that's Rajiv Mirchandani. I hope I keep getting that right. But I think that's a good article, and it makes a good place, because if you're the guy that gets turned down on the dating apps, or in this case, actually have people reaching out to you, a match, just to tell you that you're undateable or that you're unattractive or whatever, throw insults at you. Some guys will bounce back from that and say, yeah, it doesn't really bother me that much. Other guys will really take this to heart and say, man, this just bums me out. I don't want to be on the dating apps. Then you get the guys that are trying to be a secure, stable provider who's good to their woman and will treat them well. And nope, they're wanting the bad boys. They want the excitement. So you either have to play bad boy, you have to be a bad boy, or you have to say, eh, you know what? They're going to come after me when they're in their 30s, and I won't be interested by then anyway. Maybe I'll come around and get the bad boy streak and start dating younger or whatever. And then there's the third, which is this guy. Hey, just own it. Just say, you know what? Maybe I'm not right for somebody right now. Maybe I will be later on. Maybe I won't be ever. Don't worry about it. But the whole point is, with the selections that you have on the internet, with adult video, with the ability to kind of live your own life, you don't have to put up with all the excess that comes with dating just to get the intimacy. And for some people, it's worth it. Some people do want to date. Some people do. But if you're in this guy's head space where he was, which is I'm needy. I want to make this work, honey. Let's work on this. No, you're out. If you're the one that's always wondering the status of your relationship, you're out. If you're the one that feels like you're always doing a little bit more to try to make things work out, you're out. This guy, maybe he watches channels like ours right now, or like mine. Let's hope so. But once you own it and you're good and you say, you know what, I don't Like, I don't need you. If you want to come along for the ride, great, but I'm not going to play games. You come along or not. Once you're in that space, you'll actually have more success with women, even if you don't want to date them. And I'm going to leave you with the wonderful words of Reverend Bill Barr, or Bill Burr. great quote of his. And I think this sums up for some of you guys that worry about dating and all that stuff. And I think this is a great way how guys that are bachelors now think. He says, dude, I'm going to tell, and I have to skip a lot of words because he curses a lot. So, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a single guy in your mid-20s, and I'll add this to mid-30s, and I'll add this to mid-40s or mid-50s. If you're a single guy in your mid-somethings and you live in America and you're living on your own, please drop to your knees and thank whatever God you pray to every day, because you're never going to be freer in your life. I know you probably got student loans and blah, blah, and the stress and all that BS. F it, okay? You're never going to be freer in your life. Dude, you have to do in this life what makes you happy. If you try to make other people happy, that's all you're going to do, and you're not going to be happy, and then you're going to be miserable to be around. You're going to turn into a bitter person who didn't do what they wanted to do in life, and no one wants to be around that guy. You've just got to commit to this S, and then realize sleeping on a futon when you're 30, or four, and I'm putting in this port, or 40, or 50, or 60. Sleeping on a futon is not the worst thing. It isn't. You know what's worse than sleeping on a futon at 30? Sleeping in a king-size bed next to an effing woman you're not really in love with, but for some reason married, and you got a couple of kids, and you got a job that you effing hate, okay? You'll be laying there fantasizing about sleeping on a futon. There's no risk when you go after a dream. It's all effing reward. It's going to lead to something good. It always does. There's a tremendous amount of risk to be playing it safe, and that leads to unbelievable levels of regret. Some of you guys know that I was married for, I was with my ex, let's see, I was, we started dating at 28, no, that's wrong. Yeah, I was 28, and I left her at 35, 36, somewhere around there. So we were together about 8 years in total. I tried my best to make things smooth. I tried to be a good provider. I was a pretty good husband. And then there's, it's not like one day you wake up. There's a moment in time where you realize this, I'm trapped. Like, I'm not happy anymore. And I don't think she's happy anymore. And you can't get any intimacy. You try to go in for a little bit of a makeout move or something. You try to kindle the fire. And it's like trying to light a wet fire, like wet wood. It's just not going to happen. And no matter what you try to do, you try to get things spun up again, and it just doesn't seem to work. And you realize that's it. Like, there is a day where you realize this is it. This is never coming back. And from that day on until the day that you say we're done and you leave, every night is miserable because you feel trapped. You feel unhappy. I didn't have kids, thank goodness, and we both split everything amicable because I did red flag test her and she wasn't crazy and any of that. So we just went our separate ways. And I left and I actually gave her all the furniture. I let her keep everything. All I did is I kept, and as a matter of fact, I even took half of the credit card debt. I just said, you know, I want this to be over with. I helped spend half of it. I packed up my car and a little travel trailer. And I took the majority of I took all my stuff, and we split some other things. And I was done, and I was out. And I drove back to where I was living previously. And since I was really good at saving money and everything, I got an apartment with about a year of saving and getting ready. I bought a house. And I walked into that house, and I stretched out, after finding the right one for me, I stretched out on the ground floor after I closed the house and signed the paperwork. And I still had no furniture. Like, I just had boxes of stuff on mine against the wall. And I stretched out on the carpet, tucked a pillow up underneath my head, and just laid there staring at the ceiling, feeling free, feeling like I get to start over again. And this is a long time ago now for me. God, this is going back, 13 years, 12 years ago now? I just remember I was free. And that night, I ended up sleeping on an air mattress that I had that I camp on. It's just a small one for a sleeping bag. I ended up sleeping on that and just pulling a blanket over me. And you know what? I woke up and I was happy. Because the house would be decorated the way I want. The furniture that I bought would be the way I wanted it. If I didn't like the carpet, I could replace it with hardwood floors, which I ended up doing myself as a summer project. Everything I did was for me. I didn't have to consult with anybody, ask anyone's permission. Do they like this? Do they not like this? I didn't have to worry about making somebody mad. Maybe I wouldn't get any intimacy for a week. Like, you just start over again. And maybe this is the way that relationships now go, where it's no longer, well, okay, we'll, you know, let's get married and have kids. Maybe everybody's just going to be single forever, and kids happen out of wedlock and all that. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Looking out for yourself, being single, and being like owning your crap, as he succinctly put it, owning your crap and doing your own thing is the best thing you can ever do. And you know what? If you find somebody that wanders into your life and that is still important to you, and you guys have a great relationship and you can work well together and you have confidence that you're not going to get burned, hey, if you decide at that point to go forward with it, you do you. You know, it's not up for me to tell you what's right and wrong to do. You do you. But in the meantime, if that doesn't happen to you, don't put any value into it. Don't worry about it. Just do you to the best of your ability. One of the nice things about all this stuff, that the few pieces of furniture I have here, is this current place is a rented place. The furniture is rented. I don't own any of it. So when I leave, I'll have a bus with maybe 4 bins of scuba diving gear and ski gear and photography gear and my computer setup and my clothes and my dog. That's about it. And then I'm on the road. And by having so few things, I can travel the world and do whatever I want. And if I lose it, if it all burned up in a fire, I haven't lost that much. All mine's safely tucked in the bank. That freedom, you can't buy that freedom. You can't have a mortgage and own on a car and have student debt and have a wife you got to keep happy and keep the kids' college graduation. And you're worried because Bob, the boss, is angry at you and yelling at you and you might get your job fired and all that, man. Too much. So, guys, I will leave it there. I won't keep prattling on, but you get what I'm saying here, you know? Hey, welcome to the bachelor life. It's okay. It'll be easy. It's smooth. It's transitioning. You'll find your happiness just as long as you understand it comes, you are the source of your own happiness. Nothing external can make you happy, can get you that happiness. Now, for some of you, buying a fancy sports car is great, and that makes you happy, but you got to be able to purchase it. That comes from you. Everything, all sources of goodness in your life should come from you, not from somebody else. And if you do find somebody else that adds to it, great. But don't let them be the source of your happiness. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below. As always, if you have, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the Bitcoin donations. I always appreciate a Satoshi. And the best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe. Check out my older videos and join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. Guys, make sure to hit that sub button. My views are creeping down a little bit. I don't know if that's because people are going back up to work. I don't know if you're not getting notified of my newest videos. But I there's somebody that I'd like to get more subs than. And I'm not going to say who it is. And I'm not going to say how many subs it is. But there's somebody. I'll say after I reach it. And then I'll explain why. But you know, do you. Guys, I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I am Joker. And remember, all happiness, all enjoyment, all wonderful things in life stem from you, not from an outside source. And once you understand that, once you own it, things are going to get a lot easier for you.